so much for gathering us with that powerful music. Good morning.
Good morning.
I've missed you. It's good to be with you after quite an adventure. But it's great to be in this place of peace, gathered here where we can hear God's word and celebrate God's goodness together, share the sacrament of God's table, sing and pray and all of the things that we do in the great gathering. Today is a special day. As we continue in this Pentecost season, we're beginning a new series, beginning to talk a little bit about what we call the language of belief. It's a lot of language that's grown up in our tradition. There's a lot of language that's grown up in the Christian tradition broadly. And it's important for us to understand with depth, I think, what it is theologically that we are saying when we speak about God and the good news. So we're going to focus on that in some pieces here over the next couple of weeks. We are going to sing a liturgy that is and should be familiar to many of you. It's called Cornell. This is a liturgy that we have used many times in the past, but not for some time. So we're delighted in this time to bring Cornell to our liturgical scheme. So I invite you to stand as you are able, and as we begin this focus on the language of belief, we give thanks to the one who gives us this gift. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Your word for us is spirit and truth. Teach us a language of faith
that we may encourage trust in you in a skeptical world.
Teach us a language of hope
that we might shine your light in shadow and darkness.
Teach us a language of love that the world may know your goodness and grace. Speak to us in spirit and truth. Your word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. Amen. Grace of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the reconciling love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Please be seated for our Kyrie. In peace let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy for the peace from above. And for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, have
God of life and all creation, teach us the language of your truth. By the power of your Spirit, instill in us a language of belief that we may speak meaningfully to the wider world of your grace and goodness and love. Amen.
Amen. A reading from Genesis. Now the whole world had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. And the word was with God. Psalm 119 will be read responsively. I am your servant. Give me understanding, so that I may know your decrees.
It is time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken.
Truly, I love your commandments more than gold, more than fine gold.
Truly, I direct my steps by all your precepts.
Your decrees are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. With open mouth I pant, because I long for your commandments.
Turn to me and bring your soul to me, as you suggested for those who love your name.
Keep my steps steady according to your promise, and never let iniquity have dominion over me.
Redeem me from human oppression, that I may keep your precepts.
Make your face shine upon your servant. A reading from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "And not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language?" And the word was with God. Please stand as you are able for the gospel.
Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. Do we have young'uns that want to come up today?
How do you spell Jesus? How do you spell Jesus? How do you spell Jesus? L-O-V-E. How do you say Jesus? How do you say Jesus? How do you say Jesus? Love, love, love.
Welcome, everybody. It's good to see you. We're talking about language today, and I want to teach you a little bit of Irish Gaelic, if you'd like. I learned this on my trip. You want to give it a try? It's easy. I know you can get it. You're very smart. You're very bright. Come on up. The word I want you to know is siocan. Can you try that? Siocan. Let's all try it together. Siocan. It's spelled in English letters, S-I-O-C-H-A-N. But that S-I-O sounds like she, Shiokan. And it means, what do you think it means? Do you have any ideas? And all the stuff that we're always talking about in here, and all the language that we use, can you have any idea what Shiokan might be? Maybe it'd help you if we talked a little bit about Deanta Shiokana, which actually means, blessed are the peacemakers. Shiokan means peace. We might not know that unless we get together with people and begin to talk about our differences of language, and we begin to understand when we say peace, Irish Gaelic people say Shiokan. God's Shiokan be with you. Blessed are the Deanta Shiokana, blessed are the peacemakers. And this goes for lots of different languages too. In Latin, peace is pax. And in Hebrew, it's shalom. And in Arabic, very close, salam. I love those long vowels at the end. Shalom and salam. Greek is very different. Irene is peace. And of course, as we've just learned now, Irish is shiokan. And to be a peacemaker is to be a shiokana. But it's really important that we understand one another's language, right? Somebody could come up to us and say, shiokan, my brother. And unless we understand Irish Gaelic, we're not going to know whether that was a warning or a blessing or whatever. So understanding one another in language is critically important. And that's what we're going to be talking about over the next couple weeks. And we'll learn some words in different languages. And we'll practice what it is to try to make ourselves understood to people who may not speak our language. Sound good? Awesome. So, blessings, all of you, Shiokana, all of you peacemakers. You can go back and sit with your folks if you would like. Thanks for coming up today and for being a part of worship. I love this saying. Should we try it together? Don't get confused now. I know that you believe you understand what you think I said. But I am not sure that you realize that what you heard is not what I meant. Clear as mud? We have a history of misunderstanding that goes way, way back. We have a history of speaking different languages to one another. And we hear this vernacularly in our language too, right? When somebody tells you something that you really like and that you understand fully and that you're really in agreement with, hey man, now you're speaking my language, right? But oftentimes, it's like we're speaking a different language altogether. I experienced this with my children. We raised them as English speakers. And then at a point later in their lives, they began to not understand the language at all, as near as we could tell. But this was the language of their hearts, and we have a language of our hearts. We have a language that we are raised in, and I have Hispano sisters and brothers who love to come to Anglo-Lutheran worship, but there is a part of worship for them that will always be en español. The language of their heart is Spanish. And many, many people from different places all around the world have different languages of the heart. I'm told that we are like sponges for language when we're very young. And that children have a particular faculty for picking up language. It's probably as biological as it is psychic. It's important for children in the tribal community to begin to pick up the language of the tribe. So it makes sense that we are wired for language acquisition at that time. But language can also be a real stumbling block. There is, for example, I learned this in the past couple of weeks, that a really good time in Ireland is referred to as crack. Yeah. Man, that was a load of crack with that band last night. And you hear that and you think, well, I probably wouldn't describe it that way, but sure. And yet you understand over time that crack is really good. Crack is a lot of fun. And crack in our culture is something altogether different. I mean, that conjures all kinds of connotations. Language can be a real barrier, a real divide, a real stumbling block between us and others. So it's important, I think, for us to get a handle on what it is we're saying when we're speaking the language of faith. God has given us a language of the heart as well. God has given us the deep truths of Scripture to continue to immerse ourselves in. God has given us a language of faith and salvation spoken to us in Christ in ways that the world had never heard before. And this is a language of the heart that God is seeking still to instill in us and also calling forth from us in the wider world. This is the Pentecost message. This is the message of the long green season. It is being able to share the deep truths of faith and goodness, the deep truths of God, in languages that the world can understand, and making ourselves clear and understood to a world that is searching and hungry for a language of the heart that is shiokana, that is peacemaking. So we have a high calling in this, and I think it's always good for us to check our vernacular and sometimes what might be considered our closed language, our coded language about our faith. A lot of people who come to faith as a new experience these days, lots and lots of people around who are not raised in the church but are spiritual seekers, and they're looking for a way in to all of this. They see this from the outside, and if they're not just completely put off by religious television and some of that, then they want to gather with religious community and begin to understand what it is that binds us together, that calls us out in mission and service, that gives us a tradition to celebrate and a future to hope for. They want to weigh into this coded language of ours. And it's good for us, too, to check ourselves once in a while. What does it mean when we say these things that we say? My friend Bob Flagel, and I tell this story with his full knowledge. I've told it many times before just because it's so illustrative to me of what we're talking about. Bob and I have been studying Bible together for 15 years or more. And I remember when we first started, I was at Riverbend as I was working during school. And Bob came into the Bible study with several of his friends, and just very challenging, not in a deconstructive kind of way, but just really challenging, really wanting to understand and to dig in. And he continued in that way for a long time, and he came and became a regular student with us on Sunday mornings. We'd gather on Wednesday nights for Bible study, and Bob would be there, and a lot of his friends were coming as well. And I came to know Bob as a spiritual seeker all of his life, and that he'd experimented and explored in a whole range of spiritual traditions and found meaning and value in them all. It wasn't that he was indiscriminate, it was that he found some really solid, powerful messages for living in all of the things that he explored. And came late kind of in this process, I think, to Christianity. It was kind of the public face of Christianity that is all too apparent that was kind of making him keep his distance. But he came in and began to study. And I remember when Bob was later baptized, and a statement that he made that has stuck with me and will forever. He said, "Christianity has given me a language for what I've always known to be true. The language of belief for Bob is Christian." Among all of the things that he has studied, and again, the value that he continues to find in meditative practices and in all of the rich religious traditions in the world, Christianity became for him a language of faith. It began to resonate. It became a language of the heart for Bob, and now he speaks well in that language, recognizing still that for many others, many people outside of the tradition and the practice, outside of collectives, looking in, can find our language a little mystifying at times. And I venture to say that some of us, too, might struggle with our language for sometimes. We come by our language naturally. We have scripture. We have a teacher who teaches us by speaking in this language to us. And it begins to help us form shape and meaning, and it begins to form the way that we speak. But again, we've got to be careful for those who may not understand. The interesting thing about this is it's not our language to begin with. We kind of conscripted this. A lot of our principal terms, a lot of the things that we speak and talk about in terms of Christian faith are actually conscripted from the language of empire. In 44 BC, when Julius Caesar dies, they make him a god posthumously. Caesar becomes a god in the pantheon of the Roman gods. And so his son, Caesar Augustus, becomes the Son of God. Hear that language? That's pretty familiar language for us, isn't it? When are we talking about the Son of Caesar when we're talking about the Son of God? Originally, we would have been. In the empire, that would have been what we were talking about. Son of God is Octavian Caesar. Caesar is Kurios, Lord of all. Hear that? Caesar is Soteros, Savior of the people. All of these words attributed to the Roman emperor. Caesar gives the euangelion. Our word gospel is derived from that. The euangelion is the good news. And in this case, the good news of Caesar is, I have ranged far and wide. I have conquered enemies on every front in every part of our world. We have dominated our world. I and our legions have made the world safe and prosperous for the people of Rome. That's the good news. So we wonder sometimes about our own language. Our own language is a complete theft of the language of empire in a very seditious and rebellious way, and applying it to a new revelation of God that has come among us. And this is why that first verse of Mark's gospel, which can sound like, and did to me for a long, long time until I learned this about the language of our faith, sounded like just a really good way to begin a gospel, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's the most seditious line ever spoken in history. This is what makes the Christian movement anathema to Rome. When Trajan first refers to those Christians, it's an epithet. These followers of this anointed one out of Nazareth, these Christians, these cannibals who eat their God. This is the way the empire talked about our forebears and our Lord. The language of empire is conscripted into the Gospels, where we say that God is God and that Caesar is not God. When we say that the Son of God is the Lamb of God who comes among us as one of us to show us the way and the truth and the life that leads to God, that is not Octavian, son of Caesar, we're talking about. It's Jesus Christ. Amen? And he is the Soteros, he is the Savior of the people. And he is Kurios. He is Koine. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All of this language that we seditiously and heretically apply to our faith has been pulled from the empire. And the good news that we preach is one has come among us, not speaking death or peace at the end of a sword, but one has come among us to talk about life. And life eternal. This is the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, which in the way that Mark begins his gospel is the most powerful way one could begin a gospel. His is earliest. His is the one that we get first. His is the one that we get probably right on the heels of the complete destruction of Jerusalem. Mark's gospel is the one that is the most earnest. It's the shortest. It's the fastest. It's relentless. The word euthus, immediately, is used 57 times in 16 chapters of Mark's gospel. Immediately this happened, and immediately that happened. And Jesus came up out of the water, and immediately the heavens were torn open, and the Spirit descends on him in the form of a dove. A dove, a symbol of peace, reconciliation, and unity. Not the Pax Romana. The peace or else of the empire. All of this is language. And we need to understand what it is when we wield it, when we speak it. The beginning of the good news. We have a rich tradition about language in Scripture itself. And we heard this reading about the Tower of Babel today. This mythic story of the confusion of languages. And as is consistent with Hebrew theology, everything is attributed to God. The diversity of language, the misunderstanding, or the failure to understand among people is attributed to a God who doesn't want people to rise to an equality with God. And that story takes a whole lot of unpacking right there. We'll do that on a Tuesday morning sometime, or maybe a Sunday between the services. But the idea of a confusion, a profusion of languages that are vastly different one from another, that confound understanding. And I think of this as an analog to human experience. We come from vastly different places. Even those of us who are genetic Lutherans and raised in the church, we come to faith and understanding from different quarters, from different perspectives. And even among us, Our language of faith can be confusing at times. And that's why this idea that comes about in Pentecost is so powerful. This idea that the gift of the Spirit is to help us, to enable us, to make ourselves clear and understood in languages of the people around us. And some people engage that in a very literal way, that these folks began to speak in languages that they didn't know and that they communicated, and people marveled at the fact that they heard their own language being spoken. My experience has resonated more with the idea that sometimes people have been able to hear a message of truth, a message of goodness, a message of peace in the midst of a life that seems to be boiling in deception and lies, a world that seems to be conflicted and antagonistic, and a longing for something that would resemble peace in some way. Now you're speaking my language. Now I can hear you and understand you. I realize you're not a threat. I realize this is not conversion at the end of a sword. This is an invitation to come among people who've been blessed by good news that has come to us in Christ from God. So we're going to take some time and we're going to understand some of this language. Look at the words that we throw off here and think of yourself attending this church for the first time, never having been at one, and confronting something like good news, Christ, Son of God. This is all from Mark's gospel reading today. Prophet, messenger, wilderness. We have an understanding of wilderness that's different than just the hostile, deadly desert, do we not? Repentance, forgiveness of sins, confession, Holy Spirit, heaven, kingdom of God. What do we mean by these things? And how is it that we're making that those deep truths, those powerful elements of our faith and belief, accessible to people who have never heard and don't know yet, but are hungry and open? So we'll explore together. And we go led by the one who speaks to us in spirit and truth, as he's promised, and who's promised us that when the need is there, the words will be there also. Amen?
Amen.
Stand together as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Gathered together as the people of God, we claim the gift of prayer to open our hearts and minds to the one who hears and answers when we call. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day, for this place of Shiokan, for this place of peace. And we pray for places of peace the world over to invite people in to the message of your goodness and grace. Hear us, O Lord.
Your mercy is great.
Lord, teach us a language of faith, a language of hope, and a language of love that will communicate the world over. Help us to speak meaningfully into the lives and experiences of others who have never heard the good news of your grace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord, teach us to listen intently to the language of the heart that resides in others. Help us to open ourselves to their experience, their truth, and hear their voice. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
And ultimately, Lord, teach us to sing of your great grace, of your abiding presence and love, and of your care for all and every in all of creation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray that you inspire the work of our partner Austin City Lutheran congregations and surrounding faith communities now and in the time to come. Today we remember the people and mission of Messiah Lutheran Church in Austin. We pray that you bless the ministry of David and Alicia Brandos in Mexico City, all the people who serve with ELCA in local and global missions. We pray for Tim Sump in his work with the Peace Corps and all who are called to mission as their vocation in life. And we pray that you empower this community, Abiding Love. Today, we lift up Cheryl Roberts and Mike and Elaine Riggs, Tim, Shelley, Wyatt, Henry, and Oliver Rydell, Mimi Ray, Courtney, Joshua, and Ronan Rentz. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord, you have given us a language that enables us to cry out to you on our own behalf and on behalf of those who suffer most. We pray for all of those this day that are afflicted and suffering. We pray for those that are undergoing treatments and therapies and undergoing rehabilitation and recovery. And we pray for those who are on our hearts and in our minds in this time, who need special care. We name them before you now, aloud and in our hearts. Cindy Woodland, Jesse Hyam, hear us, O God. Gather us, Lord, all of us and those for whom we pray, and all of those for whom no one is praying. Bless us with your presence, your love, your healing and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to be seated.
Laughter hides the silent cry. are sharing life with one who's lost. Through his love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life. Only we can share.
Let's stand together and sing our offering song. Your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, who after his resurrection sent forth us as apostles to preach the gospel and teach all nations and promised to be with them even to the end of the age. And so with the church on earth and the host in heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and
with all who would gather, our Lord took bread, he blessed it, gave thanks, and broke it. And he shared it out with us, saying, "Take and eat. This bread is my body, broken and given for you. As often as you eat of it, do so, remembering me." And in the same way, he takes a cup, he blesses it, and gives thanks. And he shares it out with us, saying, "Take and drink. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you, for all people, for all creation, for the forgiveness of sin. Drink of it often, remembering me. And so we remember, and we pray in the words our Lord has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. All who wish to meet Christ in this meal, all are welcome at this table. And those who wish to come forward for blessing are welcome as well. God's gifts are free and for all. I invite you to be seated. Communion servers and musicians will come forward, and the ushers will direct you. Given. God bless you and keep you always in Jesus' name. Amen.
Holy and blessed three.
Invite you to stand as you are able. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in his grace. Amen.
Amen.
Just a few announcements today. Reggie Kikta is a synodically authorized minister in the Lutheran Church, and Reggie serves regularly as an assisting minister in our worship. But know this, for between now and the end of August, Reggie is taking some time away from worship and doing some traveling and things like that, so we'll continue to honor her gifts as she rejoins us in worship, probably beginning Labor Day or Rally Day. Speaking of which, Rally Day is coming up, and if you don't have a God's Work, Our Hands t-shirt, well, then you just ain't happening. So we got a place out front where you can sign up to get t-shirts for yourself and your loved ones. And yes, these are the wonderful mustard and black shirts that have inspired us so much in years past. But we're thinking very much about a new Abiding Love shirt for our 20th anniversary year. I don't think that's letting too much out of the bag right now, but... So we're not going to make new shirts right now. And so as we gather for our service Sunday on September the 8th, we'll be wearing our God's Work, Our Hands t-shirt. So please, if you have an opportunity, we're putting them out there now because our order deadline is coming up pretty fast to be ready for September. Let's see, anything? Oh, we have a new happenings brochure in the seat backs in front of you, in the pew trays. It's a happenings brochure. Take one for yourself, one for the fridge. One for a friend. Share this with somebody. Let them know all the good things that are happening here at Abiding Love. Invite them to come along with you. That language of invitation is something that speaks across all languages. Amen? Amen.
May we God also bless have you and Summer Soundwave.
Summer Soundwave.
In between services at 9:45, and that is for children of all ages. We've got singing, dancing, snacks, and activities. Please join us. You are invited.
Receive God's blessing. May God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May God look on you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Baptized in water.
We will regather in this room for the third installment of Tim Anderson's teaching, coming up here shortly. But we go forth together, sharing God's love. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's share God's peace as we go.